when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Top tips for repairing your relationship with your mother.
Maybe because, you know, if you were to approach somebody whose frontal lobe is fully developed,
they'll tell
they
will you know
that you're not the right
they'll
one.
They'll tell you know.
Top tip number one, leave the ego at the door.
Okay. And so stop thinking that 30 is suddenly, oh my God, what will I ever do with my life?
Society doesn't just put expectations around milestones. There's also a sequencing in their expectations.
Yes. Hello and welcome to the Two My Sisters podcast. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Renee, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the Two My Sisters podcast.
We are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters around the world.
And in today's episode, we are going to be having some girl chat.
Let's while talk.
Answering your questions, part two.
Let's do it.
The girls loved the last answer your questions episode that we did. And the girls are going through it, especially towards the end of the year. Yeah. So we thought we'd do another episode addressing some of those key life questions, from repairing relationships with your parents to thinking about love and beyond and everything in between. But before we do that, do we need to clean our house or is our house clean?
I hope you guys are winding down, you know, just hope that you're enjoying this season. I know Christmas and the festive season and like getting close to New Year can be a bit depressing for some people. So yeah, just for anyone who may not be having the best of time right now, hopefully these episodes are keeping you company.
Absolutely.
And you can, I hope you find like friends and stuff that you can have good memories with at this time.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are really looking forward to Christmas, Christmas is soon, you know? So yeah, just hope you guys are resting, that you kind of logged off of work if you can, and that you're just kicking it back, relaxing, chillaxing.
Chillaxing and all that good stuff. Guys, I was trying to convince Courtney to wear, you know, our little antlers.
You guys already
Could you please let us know if you'd us? Could you please let us know if you'd like to see something quite holiday related, something Christmassy? If you would like to see that, could you just let us know? I'm trying to convince Courtney for that to be part of our, you know.
So if they TMS. Let us know, what do you think will happen?
We'll take it from there. You know, sometimes you've got to take these things in stages. Yeah, step at a time.
No worries.
So once we have a bit more peer pressure, then perhaps
I will not be pressured.
Yeah, maybe not peer pressure, maybe something that the community really desires to see.
We'll
be able to facilitate that.
I am highly financially motivated.
I too am financially motivated. If you go, no, this turned into NPC, which
it's
we are
a
not
slippery
averse
slope.
To,
you started us,
which we
here.
Are not adverse to. Anyway, guys, if you'd like to see us wearing some holiday-related gear, you should let us know. We would love to know. You know, let us know in the comments below.
I will
on YouTube
come dressed as an angel.
That's
of
fine,
the Lord,
and that's fine.
A biblical one.
Oh, you want to have five eyes all of
yes,
a sudden?
Exactly.
God damn! Merry Christmas.
Were you ever in the nativity?
I was
in primary school. What role did you
I've played a few things. I've played the narrator for sure.
Oh, nice.
I know. I had that voice allegedly. I've been part of the choir. Nice. I've played an angel.
Nice.
I've played a woman. Like just a random woman.
Not you being woman three.
Woman three. So yeah, I've had a range of roles in my lifetime.
Nice.
Also, fun fact, I played Peggotty in David Copperfield. In year six.
Those words mean nothing
to
me.
Just so that
what
you know.
Is that?
I couldn't tell you. David Copperfield was a great musical, and I had my time to shine. You know these plays that these old English plays that they put on and then get you to play one nonsense character. I remember that. And I had to wear like rags because she was poor.
Oh.
Anyways. What did you play in the Nativity?
Mary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Main character.
I was a great Mary.
Okay.
Can't lie to you, mother
primary
of
school.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Black Mary.
Yes.
I love it.
I'm telling you, my husband was white. Interracial. Interracial.
That's where all of the conspiracy theories
come from.
Mary was black.
Yeah, Mary was black. That's why they hated me in primary school.
I'm screaming.
I played Mary. I've played a wise man.
Oh, okay.
I played a wise man. Okay. My school was quite progressive.
Yeah, I was about to say, not you played a wise
progressive
man.
Catholic Crazy. School. Oh my God. Okay. What else have I played? I think I've been the narrator too.
Yeah.
And then
various other.
I don't even think, I can't remember being in that many nativities though. I don't know what other plays we've done, but in each play I've had significant contributions.
Gross, no, stop it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, each play. Yeah, yeah, it's important. 100%. I was in the school band.
Oh.
Yeah. But I was meant to play the recorder in the school band, and that was the year I got braces. So I couldn't play anymore. But they didn't let me leave, but they were like, oh, you don't have to leave the band. Yeah. So I played the triangle.
Stop. Did you?
Ting. Yeah, and I really tried to convince myself that like each side played a different note, and I was like really insecure. So I was like, no, my role is significant. Yeah.
But you know what? That's how you need to romanticize your life. I think there's a lesson in there for everybody listening.
100%.
Sometimes you need to make a piano out of your triangle.
And it's
all about you really enjoying the moment, the pivotal part that you play in your own life. So I think there's a learning there.
I know how to play the cello. I don't think people know that about me. And anytime anyone asks me for a fun fact, I never think of it.
You never think of one. I actually have one for you as well. So yeah. Another one for you.
I used to play the cello.
That's interesting.
My sister used to play the violin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's giving aristocracy.
Yeah, it's giving aristocracy.
Upper class. Yeah, but we had to stop our lessons because of poverty. Yeah,
you know when they say poverty kills? Poverty. It killed your talent.
Killed my talent. Nah, I could have been a classical babe.
That is so funny. So you are a serious person. Do you know when we used to do like music lessons and like school and stuff? I remember my defining moment was learning how to play Usher OMG on the piano.
Yeah, I learned how to play JLS. The club is alive. And I wrote out all the letters.
The letters,
I remember.
No, do you know how funny that time was?
Oh, great times.
God bless her. What was her name?
What?
A music teacher. Yeah.
She died.
I know.
R.I.P.
She was a great woman. She was harsh though.
She was very harsh.
I was like, how are you policing me? She was playing
and she was
OMG.
Eastern European as well, guys. Like, no discrimination. How are you? But it was quite scary.
Listen, how are you policing me? Playing this song, Usher, OMG. Do you even know the song?
She didn't give a damn. Oh, what a good time.
DJ. DJ.
Yeah.
Listen, yeah, DJ.
growing up in secondary school in the UK was so funny, great stuff.
Okay guys, we've swept our house, shall we? Even just in small, but whilst we were having fun in primary school and in, you know, general growth and whatnot, unfortunately folks have not been having a great time, and thus we must go over to a ding ding ding
dilemma.
Sorry, that is so funny. DJ. Okay. Hey, sisters.
Hey, sweetie.
I want to start off by saying that I really love you guys, and I'm grateful to have older sisters that are so wise and beautiful.
Oh, so kind.
I'm 21 and my boyfriend is 24.
Okay.
We've been together for about 7 months now, and we both know that we're eventually going to get married.
Interesting.
We know this because we prayed, fasted, and we're completely sure that it's God's desire.
Okay.
I say all that to say that I love him so much and he treats me like a queen, But there are times when it feels as though I'm being fake. It feels as though my love for him isn't really love and I'm just playing games. I know this isn't true, but sometimes I feel this way. I don't know how to bring it up to him because I fear that I might hurt him. Please help, your younger sister from Nigeria.
Don't really know what to say.
I
think if there is that feeling of this kind of feels fake or forced doesn't feel real, there might be some truth to that. I would be curious to know, why doesn't it feel real?
Right.
Why does it feel fake? Sorry to use your language. What does real life, real love mean to you? Mm-hmm. How would you feel? And if you know that this is the one for you, what are your hesitations? Do you feel like you are fully being yourself in this relationship?
Yeah.
Do you feel like, because you know, you felt you're both so young and you felt that kind of almost immediate confirmation from God that this is the person that now you feel compelled to have to stay in this relationship, even if there are doubts there. I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions. I think in general, I have had people around me kind of say, the idea of falling in love kind of seems a bit like a myth.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when you are in love, you kind of have moments where you question, is this actually love?
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Oh my gosh, like, what is this? Or maybe your idea of love has been something else, that now that you have found yourself in a solid relationship, you don't feel maybe a sense of infatuation. And so then you're thinking, am I actually in love? I think it's hard to maybe talk about your specific situation because there's not necessarily a lot of context to the feelings and the thoughts behind this emotion or this feeling that you have. But I would say more generally, being in love can look like and feel like so many different things, in my opinion. And I think you are the only one who ever really knows whether you are truly in love, whether you're truly being authentic to yourself, whether this relationship is something you really see succeeding. And that's completely fine. And I think only you, like I said, can answer these things for yourself. And so I get the whole, I don't know if I can bring it up to him because it may hurt his feelings. And I don't think you necessarily need to put it in the way that, like, oh, sometimes I feel like I'm in love with you, but then I think that's actually fake. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is soul crushing. If someone said that to me, I'd be like, guys, they didn't love me. Okay.
Okay.
Literally tear rolling. So I wouldn't put it like that, but like really just think, why am I feeling these things? And maybe those feelings are what should be discussed. So, you know, like, oh, sometimes I feel like I... Do you feel like we can both be our full selves in this relationship? What does love mean to you? What does being in love feel like to you? What does it feel like to me? And kind of have those discussions. Also, you're both very young. There is still... And you're both very early in your relationship. 7 months is a long amount of time, but it's also not a long amount of time. And so I think it's important to realize there are so many evolutions of your relationship you're going to go through. And I think especially when you are the sort of person who, you know, has that confirmation of this is the person I'm meant to be married to, you kind of think you can skip through the dating phase. But I think the dating phase is actually really important nowadays in terms of like cultivating certain habits that you're going to learn about each other and do in your relationship to actually cultivate and sustain that love and that connection and commitment. And so don't, you know, speed past the dating phase of really falling in love and staying in love with him because you're like, well, this is my person. Now I kind of have to stick with them. Okay, cool. But still go on that journey of, like I said, growing love in your relationship. And maybe that will be the solution. Maybe you feel as though you have to have like this overwhelming sense of I'm in love with this person. Oh my gosh, like because they are my future husband to be, there should be this instant like I will die for you kind of love, and you're feeling that immense amount of pressure, and you're maybe you may be thinking, why is that not there? Because it's only been 7 months and you're only 21. Do you get what I mean? So give it time, give it time. Talk about, you know, your relationship with him. But I think this the dilemma doesn't have enough details for me personally to be able to do this. But I think hopefully that's given you enough to maybe think about. But also take your time, cultivate that love, that dating, that like for each other, that friendship. And I think you'll naturally know when you're like, no, I'm authentically in love with this person. Even if it doesn't look like what I thought being in love would look like, I can identify within myself, I am in love. And that might just take some time for you, and that's okay. And like you even said, I know it's not true, but there's something there that's made you send this dilemma.
How about you, Renee?
I love that. I think that was a very measured response. I agree. It is very difficult to diagnose this one because there isn't a whole heap of context. And I think it is worth having that introspection and really understanding where are these feelings coming from, and why is the word fake the word that you attributed to these emotions, right? I think when we think about love, as you said, we can often think of it as this lovey-dovey infatuation, this like emotional feeling. And then there's love that is the practical love, that's the decision to love someone. It's the decision to carry out with actions, words, and things that will express that you love them. I think it's also important to understand that over the span of, you know, a long-term relationship, you won't always feel like you love love the person. Sometimes it is a choice to love the person. And I think what's also great is the fact that you guys are quite in tune with your faith as well. You know, you've prayed, you fasted. It sounds like you have a great relationship with God. And I think it would actually be worth exploring that a little bit more, your relationship with God, because from our understanding and from our beliefs, God is love. And the principal ways in which God demonstrates his love to us is through his covenant, right? And love is about covenant. It's about that commitment. Is it that, you know, there's any hesitation or nervousness around that covenant that you're, you know, expecting to have with this person? Is it that you need to take a little bit of a step back to really understand and digest and process what love means in the context of a relationship? Is it that you need a bit more information as to how you receive love, how he receives love? Are you feeling loved? I think there's a lot of unknowns here that could be potential opportunities for you to dive deeper into understanding love and understanding love within the context of a romantic relationship that is rooted in God. So beyond, you know, praying and fasting, there's a little bit of deep work that could be done here to really understand what does love look like in this context. And I think completely agree that framing around, I just feel fake sometimes. Yeah, child.
That Bible cry and leave.
Ooh, child. Wrap that up. So I think it would be worth doing that kind of internal work, doing a little bit more work to unearth exactly what you feel and giving it language before expressing it to him, because it might end up being a journey that both of you do take in terms of understanding how to love each other properly, love each other well. But it is necessary for you to unearth that first, just so that it doesn't land badly. But sis, you are very, very young. You're both very, very young. And it's beautiful that you guys are already super intentional. You're already taking steps to move forward and really solidify this relationship. And that's beautiful. We are praying for you guys. We hope that it works out. But equally, you have some, you can take your time with this one too, especially because there are some unknowns within yourself that you might need to, you know, unearth, deal with, give language to before you proceed any further, especially if there's a feeling of like a inauthenticity there. There's something that needs to be uprooted there. So sis, we hope that does give you some, you know, food for thought, things to think about, consider. Do come back to us as well. Give us some updates. If there's anything that, you know, you would like to share a bit further, remember this is confidential. We ain't gonna share nothing about your business that you don't want us to share. That would be helpful. But this definitely requires a little bit more introspection, a little bit more unearthing, and a little bit more journeying both by yourself with God, but also with your partner. But we're sending lots of love. We are praying for that relationship. You guys, oh, we love young love.
We really do.
And yo, sisters listening in, does this ring a bell to you? Is there anything that you can share? Are there any thoughts that are percolating in the sister sphere that you might want to give language to that sis hasn't? Please, please, please drop it like it's hot in the comment section below here on YouTube, but also on Spotify. I see the sisters are dropping comments on Spotify. We love it. We love it. But yeah, sending lots of love, sis. And whilst that was one dilemma that was answered, we have a whole host of questions to answer today. It's really giving, you know, question and answer with the sisters and our thoughts on a whole variety of different things. Some of them are taken from the live show, but some of them are actually questions that we've had over the course of like our social media, all that kind of stuff. So starting in pretty heavy, which is, where was the question I wanted to start with? Starting in a little bit heavy, which is top tips for repairing your relationship with your mother.
Really good. One, sometimes distance. If there's like a lot of hurt, a lot of memories, and things are just extremely toxic, as in every time there is an attempt to have any kind of conversation, it results in conflict. You need distance. If this is possible, I don't know how old you are, what your financial status is, but if it is possible, get some distance. And the next thing would be being honest about your being honest about your feelings whilst also being honoring and respectful. And I know this one can be really tough because we think, no, you honor is earned, right? You give honor where honor is due. But I think there is a certain level of respect we sometimes need to give our parents for them to not completely shut down when we are having a conversation with them. And it's very annoying because it's like, no, you hurt me, you are very much in the wrong. But the same way you we're saying with in The Last Dilemma, for example, yep. if you go to your boyfriend, you say, sometimes I feel like my love for you is fake, it's gonna shut down everything before yeah. you really unpack the whole conversation that could actually be more valid.
Yep.
And so clearly there's a lot of work that needs to be done there. If your parent is in the wrong, or there just seems to be a lot of bad things that you want to go over and change that you want to see from it, don't shut down that conversation by coming in with what could be perceived as disrespect. Mm-hmm. Whilst you may not intend for it to be disrespectful because you are very hurt, mm-hmm. sometimes in our hurt, we do things which other people perceive as disrespect, especially our parents.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to like, kind of, I know it's annoying, but simmer down the ego a little bit, sometimes bring down the theatrics mm. and just be like, you know what, mom, really need to talk to you about something. When you did this, it really hurt me in this way because it made me feel like this. And I think getting to that root of, especially, firstly, like caveat to this is ascertain, is your parent actually a good person? Because some people never want to find resolution, right? Like, right. Unfortunately, there are a lot of parents, though, even though they are mature in age, they're emotionally immature.
Right.
And so it's important to think, does this person ever even like to bring resolution to any situation that happens to them in life in general? Outside of my relationship, how are they like in their friendships? How are they mm-hmm, like with their mm-hmm, siblings? Mm-hmm. How are they like with their partner? How are they like to everybody else? Mm-hmm. Does this person actually want to grow and develop as a person, or are they stuck in their ways? Because sometimes if somebody is stuck in their ways, there is no point.
Yeah.
There is no point hashing out these issues. Go on a journey of forgiveness oh. and releasing bitterness by yourself. Do you know what I mean? And forget about engaging in this relationship. There are a lot of people who have grown up and cut their parents off. As much as it's painful, sometimes yeah. it's necessary, because you know there will never be any resolve. Pray for them from afar. Love them from afar, minimize contact, live your life, and you know, just remember that you have parents and they brought you to where they could. Mm-hmm. And so that's the context to all of this. But if they are somebody who is like, actually, mom, you are someone who's a bit measured, yeah. or you are someone who in the past I've actually seen apologize, or somebody who has expressed in some way, I actually do want to be close to you. Because you know how sometimes our parents get old and they realize the foolishness in their ways.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, I want us to be closer. And it's like, you're the reason we're not close. And it's just like, okay, if there's an openness to repair yeah. Things, kind of realize that, one, this is going to be a very long journey. Mm-hmm. People do not change over time, especially mm-hmm. old people. Overnight, sorry, especially old people. People who have practiced their ways for decades.
Oh, God. And only just seen the error now.
And error now. But also people who maybe have been hurt over a long period of yeah, time yeah. and they've taken that out on you, or that it's affected your relationship or their yeah. approach to relationships. These things do not change overnight. And so give your mom a chance. Mm-hmm. Give your mom a chance and know that there may be many times in this journey where she may fail. She may return back to her old ways. She may shout. She may be rude. She yeah. may be dismissive. She may invalidate. She might gaslight. And if that happens, take yourself out of the situation and, you know, mend and heal and do all of that in your own time to the extent that you can on your own before you reapproach another conversation. In all transparency, I had to go through a very big journey of repairing my relationship with my mom, and there were many conversations which ended with, okay, you're saying I hurt you in this way, I didn't do that. And it's like, yes you did, I have the memories, I did. But okay, I'm just gonna cry. I'm gonna say I'm not gonna talk to you for a bit, and then we're gonna revisit it. Mm. And it took years of my mom going on her own journey and I going on my own journey before we could even come together and be like, there's some work we can do here yeah. and we need to do here, and both of us need to be invested in that. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, my mom and is doing very well to kind of make those steps. And so am I. And it has meant, I'll talk about my side, because obviously her side is whenever my mom comes on the podcast. Hey, Mommy Rose.
Auntie Rose.
The girls want to hear from you.
Honestly.
And whenever she comes on the podcast, she'll tell her side. But my side was, I had to release the unforgiveness and the pain.
Mm.
And it's not to say it didn't exist. Mm. And it's not to say that, even till now, I can think about some stuff that has happened between us from childhood to now, and I'll get very upset.
Mm.
However, I know that if I want our relationship to be anything, if I want my mom to have a relationship with her grandkids, if I want my mom to be in my life, if I want to see my mom grow into old age, I can't keep holding her past sins against her. I can't. Like, it will... just naturally put up a barrier between us called resentment, called bitterness, which will stop us completely. Even if she's willing to change, that will stop us from having a healthy relationship.
Right.
So if you want reparation and she is willing and she is open to go on that journey, realize on your part, it's going to take a lot of patience. Mm. It's going to take a lot of observing her behavior. It's probably going to take the rehashing of a lot of issues, constant conversation,
yeah,
and constantly pulling her up on, mom, remember I told you I don't like when you speak to me like that. Mm. Or remember I told you I don't like when you do that. And her being like, but this is how I am. I understand that, but this is how it's going to affect our relationship.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen multiple, multiple, multiple times.
Yeah.
And you just have to pray that she'll be responsive. Sometimes the change that we want to see in our relationship is the change we want to see in our parents, mm-hmm, as people, mm-hmm, right? You need to become more understanding. You need to become more tender. You need to become less harsh. That takes time. So be willing to go on that journey. Have compassion, have empathy, yeah, have patience, but also protect yourself with boundaries.
Mm.
Protect yourself with, I'm going to remove myself from this conversation. Protect yourself with some distance if need be.
Yeah,
that's what I'd say. How about you?
Yeah, no, I absolutely love everything that you're saying. I think it does require the removal of ego.
Yeah,
I think whenever you want to repair any kind of relationship, you have
sorry,
you're good. You always have to drop your ego. Yeah. You have to leave it at the door, because there will be some things unearthed that you can hang on to. There will be some things that, you know, they will point out to you that will hurt you. Yeah. But in the process of restoration and, you know, healing, you will have to leave your ego at the door. So that's definitely top tip number one, leave the ego at the door. I think I love what you were saying around like delivery. I think trying to go in with love and empathy and understanding is really important. I think our parents, because they have seen themselves in relation to you as a parent for mm-hmm. so long, it can be very difficult for them to all of a sudden drop it and admit, you know, the areas that they've been wrong, or it can be very difficult for them to not see you as their child. I think there's something about parenthood and going through that journey with your child that it would be very, very difficult for you to let that dynamic go.
Yeah.
Even in the stage of, you can be 25, 26, 30, 40, you will always be somebody's child. And I think actually being respectful of that and coming from a place of love and appreciation for the fact that you might have somebody that is a carer that sees you in that way, I think is really, really important and really helpful. And that actually really helps me, like really reframing some of the things that, you know, my mom may have done to annoy me or frustrate me or upset me as a, you're probably coming at this from the perspective of being a parent as opposed to somebody that's actively trying to harm me or maim me.
Yeah.
Or this may be a result of, again, I don't want to make like excuses or whatever, but again, that understanding, this action or reaction or the way that you have behaved is a direct result of some of the traumas that you have experienced in your life. So I would definitely say try and approach the restoration of that relationship with love, care, and empathy for your parents as human beings and not just as parents or like caregivers, but actually humans. And I think what's beautiful about getting older is you actually see the humanity in your parents. You see, oh, this person, you're wrong. You were dead wrong. But you know what? You were dead wrong because you were human and you were never perfect. So actually giving your parents a bit of a pass. There have been times where I've told both my parents, I don't know if the decision that you made here was the smartest one. With all due respect, it wasn't like, oh, I thought that was dumb, because, you know, parents pop off.
Yeah,
but it is, you know, having those frank conversations and thinking, you know what, I don't agree with the decision that you made here, but I see your heart.
Yeah.
And I see that the heart that you have towards me is not one that's always, you know, couched in dislike or hate, but actually couched in love.
Yeah.
So I think that's also really, really important. I love what you were saying about time. These things will not change overnight. Mm-mm. You will not have a perfect relationship with your parents overnight. I promise you, you will start on day one and you might even take a couple of years for you to really feel as though you are friends with your parents or your parents are on board. It may take a couple of different dynamics, a different experimenting. I know for me, like moving out and actually having distance, I know that's a privilege for a lot of people, but actually having distance from my parents allowed me to deal with a lot of the things that I needed to deal with and my parents to deal with a lot of the things they needed to deal with, very similarly to you. So that when we did come together, we had a lot more understanding, we had a lot more love, and those conversations were a lot more productive.
Yeah.
So I would very much encourage you to not feel as though this is something that will happen overnight. For some of you, it may be just a conversation that is needed. But for others, for the majority of you, especially if you don't have necessarily a positive relationship with your mother, it may actually take some time and a lot of unearthing before you can broach the subject or touch on particularly hurtful things. I think I would also encourage you to dwell on some of the positives as well.
Yeah.
I think when we're thinking about, like, you know, repairing relationships, we often forget about the positive things that may have, you know, happened over the span of your relationship as mother and daughter. I think the saying is something like, you know, bad things we write in stone, but good things are often written in sand. What would happen if the reverse were true?
Yeah.
So really dwelling beyond the famous, I carried you for 9 months and I gave you clothes and shelter and all that stuff. Yes, mother, we love you. We thank you. And mothers that are listening, we know that it's not easy to make sure that these things are available for your children. But beyond the, you know, the
provisions,
right? Beyond the provisions, were there any positive moments that you had with your mom? Were there some positive affirmations that she's given you? Were there certain moments that you shared together? And if these don't exist, maybe you can start to create them.
Yeah.
It might look like going with your mother to lunch. It might look like spending more time with your mom. I remember one of my favorite memories with my mom is whenever she does my hair, she always tells me stories because it's such an extended period of time. And you already know the process of doing someone's hair is such an intimate, you know, not everybody's mom can do hair. So shout, don't be putting pressure on your mom to do her hair. But, you know, when I was younger, my mom would tell me stories about her past and tell me stories of who was, you know, Auntie Carol back in the day. I found out my mom was climbing trees as a kid. I was like, mommy. She was like, yeah, I used to, back in Nigeria, I used to swim in the ocean. She was telling me all sorts of gist. And even now there are times where, you know, I'll be doing my own hair, but I will go home and get my mom to still do my hair just so that we can share that experience. Yeah. So finding those moments or curating those moments where you can dwell on the positives, you can create positive memories with that person, with that, you know, with your mother, is really, really important for restoration and reparation, because then you can dwell on the positives as opposed to the negatives, and you can start rewriting the story between you and your mother.
Necessary.
And then in terms of intimacy, not all relationships with your, like, your mothers have to be super intimate, right? It is very much based on where you're at with your mother and where you're at in your life. For some people, restoration and reparation looks like a very close, intimate relationship with your mother. For others, it looks like, you know, at least we can get on at family meetings and making your peace with that, because it's not everybody, even your mother sometimes, it's not everybody that you'll be able to get to that stage to. So making your peace with whatever stage or whatever restoration looks like for you is very, very important, and not hurrying the process because you want to get to stage D when you haven't even gotten to stage A. And yeah, I love what you were saying around, like, thinking about the bigger picture, right? Having to bury the hatchet so that you can build a better future for grandkids, for your family in general, because nobody wants to have to build on top of a broken foundation.
Exactly.
So really taking the steps to build that foundation, rebuild it rather, before you add anything on top is what I would say.
Necessary. Yeah. Good question though.
Great question. Another, in fact, another question, taking it left field, completely left field. Age gap relationships.
Yeah.
So we have been part and parcel to a whole bunch of celebrity relationships online. We have seen a whole host of different interactions between various parties. And one conversation that keeps on going round and round on the internet is that of the age gap relationship. So it may be, you know, a heterosexual, we're being very heteronormative here, by the way, but again, this can exist in, you know, homosexual relationships and all others. But particularly within the heterosexual relationships where we see older men with much younger women, and that always seems to cause quite a bit of an uproar or conversations around a whole bunch of things, such as, is this predatory in nature? Should, you know, older people who are, you know, in their 30s, 40s, even 50s be dating people that are in their early 20s? Those kind of conversations. And one of the questions that we actually got was, what are our thoughts on age gap relationships?
I think it depends on both of your stage of maturity, number one, but number two, realize that it does make it easier for there to be an imbalance of power, an abuse of power potentially.
some kind of manipulation or control. Now, I always used to be the girl who's like, I just am so mature, I need to date an older man, whatever. But I do think it's important for us to recognize, where is that stemming from? What do you think being in a relationship with a significantly older man will provide for you?
Yeah.
Is it that you think, oh, that's the only way I can get stability, they're the ones who are mature, blah, blah, blah. I think you need to take these things on a case-by-case basis, because sometimes, especially if a man only exclusively dates younger, significantly younger women, like the 10 years plus younger, it can sometimes be because they perceive it as an opportunity to control, an opportunity to mold and influence, an opportunity to kind of like just have uphold some kind of power that is, I am older than you, maybe I make significantly more money than you, I have this maturity that you do not have. And I think you need to question, where does that leave you in the relationship? How much power does that leave you with? At the end of the day, somebody being 10 years older than you when you are 50 and they are 60 may not even be that much of a problem. But if you are 20 and they are 30, you have a decade of life experience that different. Not just age, not just time, but actual experiences. They're probably, they've experienced career, they've maybe experienced dating several people. You haven't, baby girl, you're still in school. Or maybe you've only just got your first job. You don't know what the big world is like that, you know? And so it's just important to think, like, how much experience are you bringing into the relationship as well? As much as you may think, oh, I have all this maturity, but do you have experience? Do you have well-rounded experience, which lets you know how to handle different people and different situations? So I wouldn't be like, don't you dare date someone who's 10, 15 years older than you. You know what, baby girl, make what happens for you. Now, if somebody is 60, they're dating somebody who's 20 something. Let's be real. Don't be silly. However, I'm not going to say who you should or should not date, but I will say, if you are significantly younger than your partner, have people around you who are of similar age to your partner who can give you advice on your relationship from an unbiased but also mature place. Make sure that you are dating in community and you let people know, like, does he have accountability, for example, who you feel comfortable going to talk to? If your man's friends are also all significantly older than you, you may feel like, who am I? I kind of feel like, that little small girl who's going to call them and be like, can you pull up your boy on this? But has he done well to bring you into a community, or are you completely isolated and siloed and kept out of the rest of his world? So I think there are certain things you now need to become more observant of in your relationship to make sure that your relationship is healthy and it has the safeguards to remain healthy. So are you a part of his community? Have you met his family? Have you got people who are in your life and his life who you can talk to about your relationship, about things that are going on? Have you got a third party? For example, I would say that's a great time to bring in counseling from quite early. And I know some people are quite averse to, like, marriage counseling, no, people should stay out of our business. But I do think you need a third party, very objective person who is, like, gonna help you interpret each other and understand each other better. And I think if this person really does care for you, this is something you should invest in. And if you care for the success of the relationship, it should be something that you invest into. So I am a little bit skeptical about them, but it's not to say they do not work at all. I think you just have to be vigilant. I think you need to know what you are signing up for. Then you, again, as we say with most relationship advice on this podcast, you need to treat that person as an individual, not just an age. Don't think that, oh, because you're 35, you should act like this, you should think like this. There are many 35 year old men who still act like young teenage boys. There are many 40 year old men who still act like young teenage boys. The maturity is not in the age, it's in the mindset, it's in the emotion, it's in the experience, it's in the development and the wisdom that has been gained. So if you are with somebody, then they should understand the safeguards you are trying to put in place. But you yourself, going into this relationship, need to realize the importance of having safeguards. Because if you are a young lady getting into a relationship with a significantly older man, there is room for there to be more issues than the average same age couple is going to face. So that's what I'd say, be wise, be vigilant.
Yep, no, for sure, completely agree with everything that you said. I think also for me, when I become skeptical of age gap relationships is when they started courting as well. So if you're courting somebody that is significantly younger than you before the age of, like, consent, before the age of...
That's called grooming.
If any of you guys are part and parcel of grooming, then for me, that is a no. The relationship is a dud because you've already started with an imbalance of power. And not just an imbalance of power, but it's an illegal imbalance of power.
No,
you
no,
weren't,
no.
Your prefrontal lobe has not been developed yet. And again, it's the power imbalance, right? But also the efforts to manipulate and control.
Yeah.
Oftentimes when folks are engaging with women that are significantly younger or even girls that are actually, you know, below the age of consent, that to me just signals that you are actively going for people in order to manipulate and control them and mold them, as you were saying. And it's a no-no, dog. You need to play with people that are your own age, ideally people that are you know, above the age of consent. What are you doing with 16-year-old girls? Like, for me, it's mad cringe when I see folks that are significantly older. You're hanging by, like,
you're a predator.
Games.
You're
like,
a predator.
What are you doing?
You are a predator.
My brother, what are you
Move
doing?
Move away from that. That is not what we're even talking
it's
about.
It's creepy. And I remember even growing up, there were some folks outside of our school, like, old men, old, significantly older, grown-ass men.
Yeah, it's grooming.
What are you doing?
It's predatory. And a lot of us have been conditioned to think that that is normal. It's not.
It's
like,
not.
It's abusive. And if you're not careful, you will start to think, oh no, but this is normal.
No,
like,
not.
This is actually good for me. Do not be brainwashed, baby girl. People know when they are taking advantage of you. And often it's hard for you to see that, especially if there is something that you think you're gaining from this, whether it be money, whether it be the protection, whether it's the clout, whatever it is. Especially if you're a young girl listening to this, actually, let's put this right here.
Yeah.
If you are below, I think age of consent in the UK is 18. If you are below 18, I think in the States it's 21. But if you're below 18 and you are dating a man who was an adult. Now, don't tell me the nonsense of, but I'm 17, he's 19. He's an adult. You're a minor.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I'm not going to call you a child. I know
saying,
you want to be respectable. You're a woman. You're
genuinely
grown. You wear frontals, whatever. You're a minor. He's an adult. He can wait. If he loves you that much, if he likes you that much, he can wait, no? What's a couple years? What's the 18th birthday bash?
I just want to let you know, it is illegal, and
it's
called statutory rape.
Well, that's if you're having sex.
Yeah.
But even if you're just dating, no, he can wait. You can wait. Date people your age for now, okay? And if you're like, oh no, but he's grown, he's really mature.
No, get out of here, man.
Then if he's really mature, he can wait. Mature people can wait for things.
And you know what? This is the thing, because folks be looking at external relationships or like relationships online. I think it's just the exposure that a lot of young girls have to grown ass relationships and start to think, oh, me too, I can do grown relationship. Baby, you don't need that. You don't need this in your
and
life.
And that's the other thing. Stop trying to rush it and make it happen. You have all your life to have grown relationships, baby. Have schoolgirl relationships.
Do you know what
now.
I mean? Crushes.
Have that schoolgirl romance. You can even have a cheeky boyfriend. Just make sure he's also a minor.
There we go. I need him to be sending those like little notes that he tore out of his school notebook and he had to say, could you pass this to X and X?
No, but even if the love, the relationship, if you want to be Dior, do you want to whatever, but make sure that he's 17.
In fact,
now, if he's also 17, like he's
that,
doing fraud. Let me tell you,
Dior,
I just want to let you know.
Leave that
it's
Dior.
Fake or he's
Stop
doing
it.
Fraud.
That Dior.
But at least it's not rape.
Let
at
him
least
get
it's...
you earrings from Claire's. Dior.
But no, what we're essentially what we are saying is for any young girl listening to this who is below the age of 18, leave that grown man alone
100%.
And tell him your online sister said he has to leave you alone because what he's doing is called being a predator.
He is predator.
Okay.
Predatory
if he
behavior.
Wants you, he can wait. Don't let him pressure you into anything. And you yourself, don't go running headfirst into anything because you think it's glitz and glamour. Those girls who were in our school who were dating older men, obviously love them to pieces. Those are our sisters. No shame. However, a lot of them now, would tell you, I wish I had not.
Listen,
I wish I had not. Do you get what I mean? A lot of them now will tell you, I wish I had not. And so just be very, very careful. Do not awaken love before it's time.
Listen.
Do not do things which are not in your best interest. Protect yourself. And if you are going to date somebody, make your parents aware. I know we all want to do low-key, but there are a reason why you have guardians.
Listen.
To guard you.
And you men that are doing, can I get something outside of school gates? You must leave. You actually must leave. I don't know why you're...
Have some self-respect.
Fam, if you're dating a babe and you yourself, you're a grown man and you have to wait for her to finish from the school gates before you can take her out. I want you to really
Can you not
consider,
get women your own
exactly,
age?
Exactly. I really want you to consider if this is what you want right now.
Oh.
Okay. I don't... Chasing girls... Wearing the checkered skirt, going to school, year 10, year 11. Why are you doing this?
Are you? It's perverse.
It's not nice.
It's perverse.
Ew.
Get out of here. You
but
absolute
equally,
clown.
Stop it. But also, just to shed light on the fact that it can also happen in reverse.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so,
yes,
and I
yes.
know that it's a sensitive topic because I think within society, we often see younger men with older women yeah. and think, oh my gosh, like he's man. You know what I mean? Whereas there are actually a lot of men that have had some perverse sexual
yeah,
relationships.
And
with women
groomed.
Exactly have, that have been groomed, y'all gotta stop that too.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's not good.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay, it's not
Mm-mm-mm.
it's not cute.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's not nice.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's called grooming.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're also below the the age of consent. That is also called statutory
called grooming. It's called taking advantage.
Stop
and
it.
Honestly, you need to face the demons of dating people around your same age.
All right. Listen, creepy. And all of the narratives that we even have in public in general, floating in the red pill sphere somewhere around, the younger she is, the better.
Predatory.
It is predatory. It's not nice. It's not cute.
You're looking for someone to control.
Grow some balls.
It's not good.
And go find somebody within your vicinity.
Your age range.
You should yeah. stop.
Or just wait till they are of the age where they can make critically thought out
and if they're still like you
well considered decisions and see if they still want you.
It's just ugh. Anyway,
it's maybe because if you were to approach somebody whose frontal lobe is fully developed,
they will
know
that you're not the right one.
They'll tell you no. Cradle snatcher, go back home, don't be stupid.
Oh, not the cradle snatcher, don't kill me. Do you know how funny that is? Ooh, back to something a bit more wholesome.
Yeah.
Advice for sisters transitioning from their 20s to 30s without reaching societal milestones like marriage, kids, and owning a house. And I think a very similar question, which is how do you deal with the feeling of being too late in life even though you're young?
We need to decline. Reject it. The spirit of my age mates are doing this, my age mates are doing that,
pressure.
Number one. And the thought that 30 is old.
Guys, 30 is young,
you know. Young, you know. Let's go back to a couple episodes ago. Do you remember when I went to the nursing home? The people I saw, jeez, I thought, this is 60, 70 years into the future, because those people were not less
That's
than 90.
No I'll
tell you that now. And then it made me really think, I still have
you
the
have
majority
years. You
of
have
my
years.
Life ahead
you have
of me
years,
by
man.
God's grace.
It's a scam, I'm telling you.
And so stop thinking that by 30, suddenly the clock has started ticking and the Grim Reaper is standing somewhere like, whenever you're ready. Shut up. This is not when, what were them diseases that used to take people when they were 14?
Like cholera.
The cholera not typhoid. The plague.
The plague.
Do you get what I mean? We are not living in those times.
The way the plague rinsed people.
Lifespan of 30 years. Imagine living in a time where the average lifespan is 30. If you make it to 14, you're even older.
No, stop.
Jesus, thank God for modern medicine. Thank God for modern medicine.
Nah, the way that took people out was serious.
Crazy. So we're not living in those times. We give God glory. To live to 70, 80, 90.
Glory.
You know, it's the grace of God, but it's doable.
Listen.
You know? And so stop thinking that 30 is suddenly, oh my God, what will I ever do with my
Listen.
Life? And expose yourself now to stories of people who are in their 30s, 40s, who are making things happen, experiencing things for the first time. It's okay. Representation will really do a lot. But also, I understand that feeling of but it would have been nice to. Yeah. It would have been nice to be married by now. It would have been nice to have my person, to have my kids, to have my house, to whatever it is you think you should have achieved by this time. However, nothing's stopping you from still attaining those things, number one. Number two, you still have time to achieve those things. And number three, those things do not define you as a person, right? Still cultivate joy, still cultivate friendship and community and appreciation around you, even in the absence of those things, but be actively working towards it, because it may not happen now, but it will happen at some point. Do you get what I mean? And that's fine. We wait for that day to come. But it's not until that day comes that we will wait to celebrate ourselves. Celebrate yourself now. Celebrate every milestone, every achievement. Kill it in other areas of your life whilst you are still preparing and walking towards that. Because the one thing you should not do is lose years of your life. Prime youth years, in disappointment, embarrassment, and feeling like you haven't achieved anything.
Yeah,
that's what will actually make you lose your youth more than anything else.
100%. And
baby girl, enjoy life right now and take things one step at a time. Stop thinking that time is running out. Slow down. Take every day as it comes. Enjoy your life and make pockets of joy, but slow it all the way down, okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't make you a failure, man.
Take every day as it comes. You live every single day, and you don't want to live every single day despising yourself. Yeah. These are called societal expectations for a reason. They are what society expects of you, but not what you should expect of you. You need to define what you would like. And as Courtney said, you can aspire to these things. They're not out of reach. They're not, oh my gosh, it's never going to happen to me. They very well could happen to you tomorrow, next year, in the next 3 years, whatever. Just because it hasn't happened right now doesn't mean that it will never happen. So actually take solace in the fact that, you know, these things are not out of reach for me. And I think whilst there are some, you know, biological realities of, you know, late 20s, early 30s, all that kind of stuff, everything happens according to your own timeline. I think someone who actually spoke to this really well is Toni Tone. Shout out to Toni Tone, came to the live show. She dropped some gems.
She really did.
But I think what she does really well is really show that you can have a life after 30.
Yeah.
I don't know when this whole narrative nonsense of life finishes at 30. I know there are some 30-year-olds that are living their life.
But you know what? It comes from the fact that, again, when lifespans were less... No, let's be real. No, let's do the maths. Let's do the maths. And I think it was Gary Vee who made a video about this that really changed my perspective, which was when we were living in times where literally 60 was the average age people were 30, dying. By 30, of course, you need your life to be sorted out. But 30 is now one third of a lifespan. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? It's not one half. And so allow ourselves to also then put these things into perspective. And yes, like you said, there are biological realities. And you know, you guys know on this podcast, we're not going to lie to you. We're not going to tickle your ears with fancy things. Mm. There are biological realities. But even the biological realities don't end at 35.
Exactly.
There are many women who have had kids in their early 40s.
Kids at 37, 40.
Do you get what I mean? So also let's be guided. And also we're living in a world where if there are options, if you are 30 something and you're like, I haven't had my kids yet, start looking to freeze your eggs. Okay. Like, let's be measured and guided about the things that we are doing right now. There are options for you. So don't worry with me if I don't have a baby. Natural contraception. Conception. Do you get what I mean? I'm never going to have it. Start preparing for it. Still put that house deposit away. Mm-hmm. Still get your start planning your wedding from now. I am in the phase of my life of delusional faith. What God cannot do does not exist.
Just because you guys have not seen it doesn't mean that it hasn't happened. This is what faith is.
Do you get what it's simple evidence of the things that we haven't seen, but we've seen it in our hearts.
Hallelujah.
And so allow yourself, start paying for that, getting your eggs frozen or taking care of your health, priming yourself for that moment. Because what you don't want is now the opportunity comes and you're not ready.
Exactly.
Because you let go of hope a long time ago.
Exactly.
Don't let your angel come and you're not there at your post.
Exactly. Like, chill. It's actually okay. But I know that it's also hard.
It's very hard.
It's hard, especially if you are surrounded by people that are achieving some of these milestones that you really want. Be present and actually celebrate them. They'll be the same people that will come and celebrate you when you're achieving your milestones.
Such a good point.
And life doesn't automatically become better when you've achieved your milestones.
Yeah.
That every single milestone comes with responsibility. The house. Yeah, you bought the house, but now you have to keep up with the mortgage payments and the responsibility of owning and maintaining a house. Yes, you found the person that you want to get married to and, you know, start a family with and have kids, but you also have to put in work to maintain that marriage and maintain that relationship. And now there's somebody that's in your house full time. Are you ready to deal with that? Some of y'all be talking about, oh, I want my partner, but you only want them part-time. It makes me think of, I think it was Whoopi Goldberg, and people were asking her, how come have you've not gotten married? Like, how do you feel about that? She said, I feel fine. I don't want a man in my house. And you know what? You know what? You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Like, there are real practical realities of getting married that you need to think about and contend with, deal with. You'll be with this guy full time in your house, or even having kids. There is a big responsibility attached to creating a life for kids. It's not just about the validation or satisfaction of having a kid that you should have a kid, right? Not genuinely, not everybody who's actually fit to be a parent. And that's okay. If that's not you, that's okay. If it is you, don't be upset that it hasn't happened just yet, because again, there's a responsibility and the maturity that's required for you to maintain that. So there is that, you know, that maintenance. But also, society doesn't just put expectations around milestones. There's also a sequencing in their expectations. So once you get the house, it's where's the guy? Once you get the guy, where's the kids? Once you've had the first kid, where's the next?
There's always something.
There's always something. The goalpost is always shifting. So sometimes it's just about celebrating each goal when it comes before fixing your eye and shining your eye on something else.
Tell people to mind their business.
This is it. There will be womb watchers. There will be bank watchers. Everybody is watching. Yeah. People will always be watching. They should close their eyes and face their front and the business that pays them, because your business does not pay them.
And at least if they are going to watch, give them a good show. 100%. And that show doesn't have to look like the house. That show can just look like, I am so happy.
100%.
I'm so sorry. I thought maybe thought that when you looked over here, you would have seen somebody who was mourning, grieving and feeling like they had lost stuff.
Mm-mm. Do you know what I'm
living it up.
I personally dislike is those people that will come and shame you and come to look for you to be upset. Because you're single, because you're... I don't want kids.
See the demons that manifest when you tell them, actually I'm so happy, they're like, no, you're delusional. No, you're delusional.
Guess we're on the same side.
You're delusional, sweetie.
You'll say, oh, I actually don't want kids right now. Why?
Yeah.
Why but are you not upset?
Overall, sis, like 30's actually young. Walls. 30's young.
You got time.
Ooh,
it's almost the new year. Jump scare. What is your prayer for 2024?
What is my prayer for 2024? I have so many like small ones. Mm. You know what? I actually think my overall prayer, and it's going to sound really deep, and like, I think over the...
Cool. Started already. Teardrop, slided that wall.
Are you okay? I think over the last episode, you guys know I'm really getting serious about my faith, and my overall prayer is that just through everything, God will just make me more like him, and that like I'll actually fulfill my purpose. That's like awesome. I really want to just be impactful in the world, and this year was, guys, when I say blessings, Jesus,
glory be,
it is only God. The blessings of 2023,
serious,
I could never have imagined that this would be my life, my career, whatever. And now I'm just like, God, like, just use it all for your glory. And I've kind of realized now that like life is full of so many highs and lows, and even in the low points there's still so much value to be taken out of it when you just want to become more like Christ and like have his heart formed in you. So right now I'm just like, God, even in the good, the bad, with everything I'm doing, just be glorified, man, in every way. So that's my overall prayer. Because I feel like that's what causes you to live a really beautiful life. Yeah. Like, I think even when people ask me, like, oh my God, you're so inspirational. How did that happen? I just want to glorify God, man. I don't know what else to tell
you. Oh, Courtney. That's so wholesome.
Yeah, it's quite deep. But, like, the more I've been thinking about it, the more I'm just like, I have my goals, don't get me wrong. But I'm like, God, like, there was something someone said which was like, think about the consequences of your success and like, will it actually produce in you what you actually need to be produced in you. And I was just like, you know what? I want the consequence of anything that happens to me, good or bad, to be the glorification of God.
That's beautiful.
And the evidence of his goodness in my life.
That's beautiful.
So yeah, babes, what about you?
Oh, that's beautiful. Before we get to me, that actually reminds me of a conversation that I had with a friend recently. And we were talking about like success and the consequence of success, funnily enough. And he was like, I often ask myself, would I like what kind of person I would be at this level of success as a means of checking myself. So if I was to make, you know, 1 million, where would I allocate the funds? And he went into so much details talking about, I want to do this, that. And he does it as a heart check to see, am I the kind of person, am I producing the kind of things that I want to produce, but is it also producing in me the kind of person I want to be in the world? And I was like, that's such a beautiful way of thinking of things. Ooh, my prayer for 2024. I think similarly to you, 2023 has been a phenomenal, phenomenal year. We have seen things, the highest of highs, but also some of the lows. But I think what's been beautiful about the lows is what it's produced in me. Like, child, you see a lot of things in your time and it can have the opposite effect, right? It can completely, you know, change you up or, you know, keep you in places that you don't want to be. So I think for me, 2024... I think for me, I would really pray that I continue to grow in my heart for like the things that we do for women in particular. I think what I've been so privileged to have across 2023 is such access to like women's stories and women's hearts in both intimate settings, but also in quite large settings. And I would really just pray that God really keeps my heart for women and really grows my heart and really grows my capacity to actually hold space for women too. Because I think even amidst the like great stuff that you can do over the span of your life and stuff, it's actually holding space when the successes do come that can be tricky. You're so absorbed in like doing that you forget that within the house you actually need to hold space for people. So I think my like one of at least one of my biggest prayers for 2024 is I really want my heart to grow for women, but I also want God to keep space for women too. Like I really want them to be a priority, both in like my personal life, but also in my public life. I don't want to be that person that's like shouting about, oh, I really care about these things in the world. But then internally within my own personal relationships, I don't hold space for people.
That's good.
So I think, yeah, God keep my heart, because as we continue to go further and further, both with like TMS, but just in life in general, you get exposed to the heights of, you know, evil and the heights of systems that need to be torn down and the heights of people that need to be thrown in jail.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, man. So yeah, God really continued to open up and free up my time, my provisions, everything just to have heart for the people that he's called me to.
That's really, really good. Really, really good.
Wholesome stuff, man.
Very.
On to the next one.
Yeah.
How do you find joy in life after a season of exerting yourself to achieve your goals?
Is this before or after the goal is achieved?
That's a good question.
The goal is not achieved. I would answer both. If the goal has been achieved, celebrate the heck out of that, boy. Like literally, like really make it a big deal to like celebrate and commemorate that moment. Like, boy, go out, buy yourself something nice, spend time with your friends, pop open a bottle of something, like whatever it is, really give thanks and like be grateful for the success and soak that up for a good period of time. Just so that you don't forget. I think that brings an immense amount of joy. If it has not worked out the way you wanted it to, be grateful for the process, number one, and number two, be optimistic about the fact that you can always go again, you can always do something new. And I think that excitement can also bring joy as well, and surround yourself with people who will bring joy to your life, like will through celebrating you or through bringing moments of joy through humor and company. Don't isolate your times in moments of, don't isolate yourself in moments of victory or in times of victory or even failure. Be around people who truly do bring you joy through their presence. And I think that's a big one for me that keeps me very joyful in almost all situations. I've been through some really rocky things as of late, and having people around me who have even in the midst of my tears, made me laugh or made me like cackle or just be like, you're so dumb for even saying that. But it's brought me joy in that moment. It has genuinely reminded me that, Courtney, you're not dead. This thing can be overcome and you've got such great people around you, right? So I think it's important to keep people around you who bring you joy, but also remind yourself that in all moments you can actually find joy, even in times of sorrow. I think there can be joy found. Sometimes you have to dig really, really deep, and sometimes you need to just allow yourself to feel the pain, feel the failure, and move on into a new season of, well, you know what, I'm going to intentionally cultivate gratitude, cultivate joy, because it can be a constant state, right? Joy isn't fleeting. It isn't around like happenings. It's something I learned from my mentor where I was like, oh, sometimes I just don't feel happy. And he was like, yeah, because being happy depends on things happening. And if things aren't happening, you're not going to be happy. But if you're joyful, it's something that you can cultivate from within you, stemming from gratitude, like actual gratefulness. And so just be, try to, I say just is always a word I throw around, which is terrible. But like, be grateful, learn to be grateful in all things, in all circumstances, learn to be grateful, to give thanks for whatever is in your life, the success, the failures, the sorrow, the tears, whatever it is, learn to be grateful. And I think that gratitude, as much as it's a word that's thrown around a lot, is literally a dimension shifting principle. Like, no matter where my headspace is, if I can find even one thing to focus on and just say, you know what, I'm so thankful for this, it can help me realize that no season is ever wasted. And I think that's sometimes why we lose joy. We feel like our time is being wasted, our efforts have been wasted. There's no reason to be joyful, but nothing is ever wasted. So remember that. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. Definitely agree. Gratitude is such a big thing. And I really do hope that as many of us are coming towards the end of 2024, gratitude is one of the overwhelming emotions and practices that we actually adhere to, because it's so easy for you to dwell on the negatives that you forget to be grateful. Even the basic stuff, you're breathing, that
It means something.
It means something. It means that God isn't done with you yet. So definitely would echo that point on cultivating joy and being grateful and using it as a practice in your day-to-day to really help you with, you know, that post period.
Yeah, man.
I would say rest, man. I think there's so much pressure to stay in the state of exertion, but it's not in the exertion that you grow. It's actually in the rest period that you grow. It's the same with like our physical, like bodies and stuff. When you exercise, the growth and the strength comes from the resting period and not from the period of exertion. So actually scheduling some time to rest and recuperate. You've been whether you have achieved your goal or not, you have been working hard. And sometimes it can be so tempting to stay in that hamster wheel because we think that the exertion will always result in the results. And sometimes it's the rest that, you know, results in the result that we want. So scheduling some time to rest, take a break, especially as a lot of companies, organizations, people are coming to a point in their cycles where they can actually rest. They're taking their holidays. Take advantage of the fact that you can slow down too. It's okay to slow down. It's necessary to slow down. And it's a beautiful thing to slow down. Spend some time with, as you were saying, people that bring you life, people that can actually speak into you, people that, you know, energize you. Spend more time, prioritize spending time with them, but also prioritize spending time with yourself. Check in with yourself. How are you doing after this period of exerting yourself? Do you think things went well for you? Do you think that this is true and authentic to the way that you want to continue exerting yourself next year? I think even if we've achieved our goals, sometimes we can come to a place of we didn't like the process through which we had to go through in order to get that. So you may have had a positive result, but you've had to go through a very negative process. You might want to reflect and think about ways that you can make that and spin it so that it's a lot more positive. Vice versa, you may have exerted yourself in a way that was really great and you really enjoyed it. You may not have gotten the results that you wanted, but is there a case for you to go again and try again in that same way in the next year? So really rest, process, think about the process that you went through. Is that true to the way that you actually want to continue with things, whether it is in your career, in your relationships, whatever sphere it is? Or is, you know, are there some places that you can tweak it a little bit? But definite emphasis is on that rest, recover, it's okay. Slow down, man. Chill out. Do things that you enjoy as well, like things that don't require active effort or active energy, things that restore, things that bring back your energy, because life is always going to go in ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
There will be times where, you know, you will be required to have a high output. And in the times where you don't have to be putting out so much, slow down and get your energy back, yeah, so that when the pendulum swings to the opposite side and you're required to increase your output to a higher level, you will actually have the energy to do so. And this is how you actually avoid burnout. Mm-hmm. Get yourself in a place where you'll actually be ready to deal with the next bout of high output,
yeah,
by respecting and honoring your time of low output. Good. Rest, man.
Rest.
Watch the Netflix shows. Necessary. I'm speaking to myself, man. Watch the Netflix shows. Go out to eat if you want. In fact, stay in to eat. Get the takeout.
Do what you want.
Relax. Put the face masks on. Go gist in with your friends. Mm-hmm. You know, do the things that bring you energy, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
I think we have time for maybe one more.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe two more. Where's Courtney's outfits from?
My outfits? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Oh, this is from the live show.
Yeah, this one's from
my
the live
dress
show.
Was from, oh, it wasn't even a dress. Sorry. People were asking, where's my dress from? Mm. It's not, it wasn't a dress. It was a two-piece.
Two-piece, baby.
So it was, it's a two-piece from Pretty Lavish. One of my favorite places to go, mm-hmm, for knitwear. They just have such high quality pieces for like an affordable price, yeah, and such an amazing brand. Some of their pieces are available on ASOS, but then they also have their own dedicated website. They have a really nice curve range, like of plus size clothing.
You should sponsor
which
Courtney.
Is just, yeah, you really should, because I just made a very, very large order from you guys. A very large order on Black Friday, I can't lie. So yeah, a lot of my outfits are from like ASOS, Pretty Lavish. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Those are like my go-to at the moment. I love me a bit of River Island. River Island has one of the best plus size ranges.
Okay.
Because the quality, I think with plus size clothing, let's get into it. Mm-hmm. With plus size clothing, sometimes you have to compromise on the quality. And I think, yeah, that's in general with clothes these days. You don't get that quality. And like when I say quality, I'm talking about like, you know when our parents used to buy things from M&S?
Yeah.
Marks and Spencer's, and it's like,
Dorothy,
it's quality. I'm like M&S, John Lewis, like, yeah, that's the piece. Like
heavy ones.
Do you get what I mean? Like, that's what I mean. I cleared out my entire wardrobe the other day because I just wanted a fresh capsule wardrobe. And I think you can get really caught up in like just having pieces, but you don't know how to put the outfits together, etc. So your girl's kind of becoming a fashion girly.
Check
or whatever. But yeah, like investing in the pieces from Pretty Lavish was nice. That's where my brown co-ward on the live show day was from. But yeah, I just liked having pieces that feel nice, mm-hmm, and not just look nice. Like, I really love investing in those pieces that feel nice. Check and yeah,
sustainable
so
fashion,
thank
girly.
You. Yes, I'm trying my best. Check so now out. All of my clothes fit on a rail, and that's it. Those
check
are all
you.
Of my
wow.
clothes. All of my clothes fit on a rail. Summer clothes and winter included.
Courtney, is that you?
It is.
Nah, guys, I'm actually so proud of Courtney. Courtney was that babe, the ASOS orders that will be coming in. Remember uni times?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
I'm just
going
to go to the porters to pick up, you know,
my ASOS clothes. Parcel.
Yeah.
But you know what? I kind of don't despise, I do, because I wish I could get the money back. But like, I don't despise it because I think in time my style has evolved and I found it like through trial and error. It was a lot of trial and boy, a lot of error. But I've loved it. And I really like the way I dress now.
I love that.
Like,
for you,
I really, even this last week I was reflecting on it. I was like, it's every outfit has been a banger.
Good fit.
Yeah. I even the casual ones. It's mm-hmm. just look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, who is she?
I look good.
Who is she?
You want to look
cute
good.
And put together. Yeah. So yeah, that's where my outfits are from. But if you would like more fashion content, let me know, because I'd like the sponsorship.
Exactly. Exactly. You guys ain't going to get fashion content from me. I'm just going to troll you. I will just troll you. In terms of legs routine, guys, just go to the gym. That is
all. Oh, wait,
no. Say.
Were they, what was the full question? Because I think I saw that.
It was, what is your body routine? Because your legs look amazing.
Yeah, in terms of like the skincare, the body
oh.
care. Yeah. Because I looked at her picture. I was like, our legs were really glistening.
Nice, glistening.
Our legs were really glistening at the live show.
What did we
body care
then?
Routine. No, remember both our legs are, because I had the slit and then you had the short dress, so both our legs were out. Yeah.
Vaseline. And to be fair,
you've used Vaseline on your body?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Occasionally. Ava Estelle.
Oh yeah.
So recently picked that up.
Yeah.
Ava Estelle, yeah. That cream just there was one moment. Shout out to Treasure Tress, yeah. Man, because we went to their pop-up and we've been doing a whole bunch of stuff and they sponsored the live, yeah. Show. And shout out to Joy as well. She was, yeah. The one that prepared our, boxes. You know, build your own boxes.
Wash day box.
Oh my gosh. And part of that was actually the Ava Estelle cream. Yeah. They have like a winter and a summer cream. Yeah. And that thing just smelled so good.
I've been in love with their winter cream since, oh my gosh. 2020, I want to say. I literally stocked up. I have like, I think I'm on my last container and it smells like vanilla orange.
Yeah.
It's so good. Beautiful. And yeah, their summer one I picked out from the Treasure Chest store as well.
Beautiful.
Absolutely fantastic. But what was on your body on the live show day? That's what
I'm really trying to think. Because what I was genuinely on the day, I think it was cocoa butter and, yeah. Vaseline. There that was go. It. Cocoa butter and Palmer's, another great brand. That
Palmer's,
you know,
is a great brand. They're Palmer's. Actually sponsoring an event. Oh, by the time you listen to it, it's in the past.
Yeah, it'll be
we're
in
doing
the past.
An event in Birmingham.
Yeah,
for Black girls who can't retain length.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we're,
yeah.
Going to be doing some hair tutorials about all things hair and growth. Yeah, sponsored by Palmer's and Treasure Dress.
Yeah, funnily enough. So yeah, on my legs was Palmer's cocoa butter.
Yeah.
And you, what's the name of, I think it's the cocoa butter Vaseline, you know, the, yeah. One in the brown tin. Yeah. So yeah, yeah, doubled up on the cocoa butter, man. That,
yeah.
Was me.
Yeah, I think mine was one, I exfoliate with my African sponge.
Yeah, yeah.
My skin is, yeah. Very, very smooth. Anyone can tell, yeah. You that I exfoliate, and I have that done too. Since birth.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
You catch up that, on your exfoliation.
Yeah, Africa, you gotta do that.
Sapo,
yeah.
The actual sponge. The actual sponge.
Yeah.
Good. And then I moisturize with the vitamin E intensive cream from Superdrug, the one in the tub, anyways.
The tub, the white tub, right?
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And it, well, it has like a cream lid and then the red label, because there's a vitamin E body cream, mm-hmm. And then there's the intensive. I'm heavy on the intensive.
She said intensive. I need that, yes, moisture.
Because you need the
baby.
Moisture, exactly. And then I sealed it all in with argan oil.
Nice.
Yeah, argan
nice,
oil.
Nice, nice,
on my leg. And that was my routine.
That was, yeah. Pretty much it, man. Nothing simple. Pretty, just, keep it simple, man.
Pretty keep it pretty simple. Keep it simple. Body care.
Heavy on the exfoliate, though. Yeah, boy, no, you got a scrub, necessary. Baby. Scrub.
It is necessary.
Nah.
It is necessary.
Got, yeah. A scrub.
Because I don't shave either, so I don't get like
the, you do not like grow hair on your,
on
legs,
my legs
like that.
No, I don't. I've never. Must be nice, man. This, I've never like grown hairs on my arms or my legs. This is all my years of growth.
That is insane to me.
Literally,
I ain't gonna show, yeah. The care. To be fair,
you don't
that
have
bad.
That much.
Yeah,
hair on your,
I don't
arm.
Really grow.
You
too
have
much.
Normal hair on your.
I feel
arm.
Like I do. To, yeah. Be fair, my legs as well. I don't have like. I wouldn't say it's like woolly mammoth territory.
Hello.
It's more like baby mammoth.
Okay.
Yeah. However, one thing. Oh, good question that I have on my mind. What is, yeah. One of the best like beauty related investments you've made this year?
I know yours is going to be.
Oh, 110%, baby. Me too. I'm even trying to get that sponsorship, child. Listen, laser hair removal. If you are a hairy queen, go get it.
Yeah.
Because me not having to shave my armpits and just being able to, you know, dance around. Listen, yeah. I went to a worship night. When I tell you, I was lifting my hands. Obviously, not shaming anyone that doesn't want to, you know, yeah. Shave or whatever. I was lifting my hands in, yeah. Worship, child. And I haven't had to shave my arms since I got it.
Yeah.
Like, shave my armpits. Yeah. And also, you know, the bikini line.
Yeah. We're all good. What has been my best beauty investment? I wouldn't even say this year. I think the biggest investment I made into my beauty was learning how to do all of it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Doing my nails with like press-ons, yeah, doing, knowing how to do my eyebrows, like, doing my own braids, like learning how to do my own beauty maintenance has just,
yeah.
I do my own beauty maintenance every 2 weeks. Yeah. And it keeps me looking cute, looking fresh.
But also you get to save some coins. Because
I get to save my coins. Exactly. But it also means I pretty much always feel and look good. Yeah. And I like that for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love it.
I really like that for me. But I think big investments I want to make in 2024. Mm-hmm. I think I want to go to the dentist a bit more often, like just for like proper cleans. I don't know. I want to do the big girl stuff, man. Yeah. No, I want to get green peels. I know the girls are talking about it on TikTok, but I really want to start doing chemical peels. So I have a lot of hyperpigmentation. Mm. Come on YouTube if you're listening to the audio. I have a lot of hyperpigmentation. When it's around that time of the month, I get spots.
Yeah.
In these key areas of my face and on my forehead, and I'm a pimple popper, and so it always leaves dark marks. Mm. So as much as like I'm really happy with where my skin is, I'm getting a lot more hyperpigmentation and dark marks.
Yeah.
So I really want to try green peels. Mm. Yeah, but it's like, wow, my skin is gonna shed off.
Yeah, it's quite a serious thing.
I really want to try it because the girls look so radiant afterwards. Yeah, some good extractions as well. Yeah, some facials. Yeah,
that sounds good.
Yeah,
talking about anything in 2024. I've always wanted to try microblading. I ain't gonna lie, it's on my list of that. And
microblading where?
Eyebrows.
But you have eyebrows.
Yeah, but like, my eyebrows are like, I want like definition. Because I feel like I have the kind of eyebrows, well, to be fair, I like them because they make me look very young. Mm. But I kind of want like the je ne sais quoi. Mm. I've wanted that, and I feel like if I say I want Invisalign, you guys are going to zoom in on my teeth.
I am screaming.
No, because you know people are like that. You'll say, oh, I want X. Now they're going to be like looking at my face.
We all have insecurities, girl.
To be fair, I like my teeth, but I just think they could be straighter. Mm. So I think maybe 2024 might be the start of my, either that or like some kind of, because I don't feel like my teeth are like mad crooked.
Absolutely not.
I just kind of want the
straightness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to Turkey to get veneers.
So. Oh, but you don't need veneers. You don't need veneers at all. So extreme. So that extreme. That is it. The Invisalign.
Have you seen some of those? Anyways.
Like Turkey teeth. It's really
How can you call them Turkey teeth?
Because that's what it's called. No, Turkey teeth.
Turkey teeth.
Turkey teeth.
They look they look like ice cubes. A set of ice cubes. Anyway, sisters, we hope you love that chit-chat video. Yeah, we love you. We hope that you enjoyed the episode. If you do have any more questions, if you like this style of, you know, episode, let us know, because we've been getting a whole bunch of questions, and it seems like the sisters like the chit chatty stuff, and we like the chit chatty stuff.
You like hearing from us, which is so nice.
It's really quite cute. We really do love it. So please, please, please let us know what you thought of the episode. Do you have any other questions for us? Whether they go from the deep ones to the cosmetic ones to the conspiracy theory, we love those too. Please send us those questions. And maybe we'll do something like this, you know, maybe once a quarter, once a month, you know, something like that. Let us know. Before you do all of that, make sure you actually subscribe to this channel. So if you're listening to this, everybody that is subject to the sound of my voice at this time should go to the subscribe button, the nearest one, YouTube, Spotify, whatever. Yeah. Just make sure that you are part of the To My Sisters revolution, because we are getting ready for the 2024 life. And make sure you follow us across all social platforms at To My Sisterhood everywhere.
Necessary stuff. And you can follow us individually at Renee Kapuku and at CD Boating. And make sure you sign up to our mailing list on tomysisters.com.
That's right.
So that you can get weekly glowing and growing tips straight to your inbox.
Absolutely. Sisters, we hope you have a fabulous, fabulous week. Is this Christmas week they're listening to? Oh, it's the one before, right?
It's the one before.
Okay.
Next week.
We hope that you have a fabulous, fabulous time. And as we are preparing for Christmas, we're sending you a Merry Christmas in advance. Don't worry, guys. As I said, please, can you post if you would like to see us wearing something Christmas related? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Just post. Post. We might do a poll to get Courtney wearing it. Come on, let's go, guys. Anyways, other than that.
Anyway. You guys are going to be very disappointed when you realize that I don't give it to peer pressure.
We love you guys. We love you, sisters. You have a fabulous week ahead. And as always, keep glowing and growing.
Bye-bye.
That is so funny.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.